Now it's time for Toker Talk Radio, the voice of the marijuana nation.
What are you people? On dope?
Where you can toke.
I inhale frequently.
Or you can talk.
I experimented with marijuana and didn't inhale.
Or you can toke and talk.
10 federal criminal penalties for possession of up to 1 ounce of marijuana.
While we talk about toke on Toker Talk Radio.
So by the way, when it comes to pot, you know, if you're 40 years old, you live in a log cabin in Oregon, you got 12 giant pot plants in your backyard, have a ball.
Live from beautiful Portland, Oregon at Rolla J Studios.
Cannabis.
Plus your calls live at 971-533-7111.
They're walking on their pants with their cap on backwards, listening to the Enema Man and Snoopy Snoopy Poop Dog.
What's to keep somebody from getting all potted up on weed and then getting behind the wheel?
Gateway theory doesn't work. It's a reality.
Holland, is it real? Don't tease me.
We're locking up people that take a couple of puffs of marijuana, and the next thing you know, they got 10 years.
And now, here's your host, the guru of ganja graphics, the sultan of sativa statistics, and the worst nightmare of a reefer mad prohibitionist. A polite, perspicacious, productive pothead with a propensity for PowerPoint. Radical Russ Belville.
Welcome back, everybody. 4 o'clock at the Pacific Time Zone. Time for Toker Talk Radio. Got ourselves a great show coming up. Radical Rant a little bit later on this hour. And we're talking about the Missouri efforts of the stoners against legalization. But first, I want to talk a little politics. I have this amazing letter written by a woman that I hope is America's first female president. It's a letter to Dr. Thomas Frieden of the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention in Atlanta. He's the head of the CDC. It begins, "Dear Dr. Frieden, as you know, our country is faced with an opioid epidemic that only continues to grow at an alarming pace." Continues to talk about a 65% increase in her state. She continues, "Prescription painkillers are at the center of this epidemic. According to the National Institutes on Drug Abuse, or NIDA, the U.S. remains the largest consumer in the world. Despite accounting for only 5% of the global population, Americans consume 75% of prescription opioid medications in the world." You got that? 5% of the population, 25% of the world's prisoners, 75% of the world's opioid use. In 2013, the U.S. The U.S. Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services reported that more hydrocodone acetaminophen, or Vicodin, was prescribed to Medicare beneficiaries than any other drug. She continues to applaud the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, or CDC, for the actions it has taken to study the epidemiology of this public health crisis, support the ongoing work conducted in states, and provide guidelines to prescribers on the use of painkillers for chronic pain treatment. She continues by asking the CDC to explore every opportunity and tool available to work with states and federal agencies on the ways to tackle the opioid epidemic and find information about alternative pain relief options, including the use, uptake, and effectiveness of medical marijuana as an alternative to opioids for pain treatment in states where it's legal, the impact of the legalization of medical and recreational marijuana on opioid overdose deaths." That's 2 of her 5 points. We already have some of the science on this. We know that fewer people commit suicide, fewer people get addicted to opiates in places where there's access to medical marijuana. That is signed, my hope for first female president of the United States, Senator Elizabeth Warren. That's right, Senator Elizabeth Warren. What, you thought, you thought Hillary Clinton was writing a letter like that? Are you kidding me? No, not gonna happen. And in other Democratic news, you know, Bernie Sanders crushed Hillary Clinton yesterday, 60% to 38% in the New Hampshire primary, a 20 52% landslide victory for Bernie Sanders. So that means from the state of New Hampshire, Bernie will get 13 delegates and Hillary will get 15. What? Yeah, that's right. In the Democratic primary, if you win by a 3-2 margin, you get two fewer delegates than the loser. That's because of superdelegates, ladies and gentlemen, the party insiders and political hacks who get to vote any way they want, regardless of how the states and the people actually vote. If there were any better argument for the 1%'s control of the political process, Hillary Clinton, the superdelegates, are making it for them. We're back right after this.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Gather with fellow cannabis companies past the Golden Gate to San Francisco and the 2016 International Cannabis Business Conference, February 13th and 14th at the fabulous Hyatt Regency. Register now at internationalcbc.com. Learn from leading industry luminaries like cannabis celebrity legend Tommy Chong, former Surgeon General Dr. Joycelyn Elders, best-selling author Andrew Sullivan, and so many more. Plus, exhibitors, expert panels, and education made to calibrate your new or existing cannabis plan. Catch CannabisRadio.com and the Russ Belville Show at the 2016 International Cannabis Business Conference and register at internationalcbc.com now.
The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com.
Cannabis Confidential with Dr. Dina. Candid.
I want to give you the inside story.
Captivating.
I want to introduce you to my kind and amazingly talented friends.
Compelling.
We get to meet some of the most amazing cannabis activists and warriors around.
Listen in as medical marijuana pioneer Dr. Dina shares never-before-heard stories, chats with cannabis insiders and celebrity friends, and provides invaluable perspective and insight into one of the fastest-growing industries in the world.
I want to share with you what was once confidential information. Let's expose the truth, discuss the issues, and learn the facts.
Cannabis Confidential, only on CannabisRadio.com.
Russ Belville Show is proudly sponsored by the Marijuana Business Association. The MJBA, called by NBC News the Cannabis Chamber of Commerce, is the fastest growing business association in the fastest growing industry in America. I've been working with the MJBA for years, and I personally invite you to join the MJBA. MJBA also publishes the popular MJ Headline News on Facebook and the MJNewsNetwork.com, and Marijuana Channel 1 on YouTube. Visit MJBA.net for more details.
I have a package here for Radical Rick. Is there a Radical Rick here? How about a Rick Russ? Any Rick Russ? Somebody named Freddie Farrakh has sent him a package. Anybody? What is that? Sounds like a skunk. You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation, only on CannabisRadio.com.
Welcome back, everybody. 9 after the hour, and I got to weigh in on these latest revelations. Rented lips. These latest revelations from the blog called StuffStonersLike.com. They just filed this today, tagged me on it so I would see it. The story is entitled Activist Travis Maurer Countersues the Weed Blog. So let me get you caught up. First, here in Portland, Oregon, you got to understand that we lost our legalization in 2012. Paul Stanford, the head of the Hemp and Cannabis Foundation, tried to get a true legalization type initiative passed in 2012. The same time Washington and Colorado were passing, tax and regulate. And our true legalization failed. And when that failed, Rob Campia from the Marijuana Policy Project sent a note out to us marijuana activists and said, whatever you do, don't go for 2014. If you go for 2014, you're going to lose and we're not going to back you and we'll never back you. Basically an extortion threat to tell us, don't go forward with 2014. But Travis Maurer was convinced that we could do 2014, as was I. As was I at the time. In fact, there's a video online, on YouTube, where you'll find me questioning Steve Fox at the time with MPP, who came to Oregon in January 2013 to make that same case. And I questioned, you know, shouldn't we strike while the iron is hot? There's no guarantee that something shitty doesn't come out of Colorado or Washington and ruin our chances in 2016 to be able to pass anything. We've got momentum. We should move with this, right? And our side won, our rhetorical side won. And Travis had a lot to do with that. Travis got the polling and some numbers and some finances together that convinced Drug Policy Alliance and others to band behind a 2014 shot in Oregon, which, as we now know, passed with the greatest measure of statewide legalization ever, 56.1%. So Travis gets all these write-ups in Newsweek and in the Oregonian and gets hailed as this mastermind behind Oregon legalization. Meanwhile, my friend, my pal, Randy Quast, who's been a longtime supporter of my work as a journalist and as a blogger and podcaster, has supported my radio networks, as Travis has in the past too, but nowhere near to the extent Randy has. Randy Quast, who founded Minnesota Normal and is a trucking company millionaire, moves out from Minnesota to Portland. And he gets in, you know, partially because he knows me out here. And so my friend moves out here and wants to get involved in Oregon and, you know, live where it's legal. So we formed Portland Normal, of which I'm no longer the executive director. I resigned a week ago. But we formed Portland Normal together, and he poured a bunch of money into Portland Normal. Meanwhile, he also got to meet Travis through me. Okay. And he and Travis began putting together some sort of business together so that they could build a dispensary and a grow site and fund, you know, legalization efforts and that kind of stuff, right? So Randy pumped in upwards of $700,000 into this dispensary grow site scheme of Travis Maurer's. Now, meanwhile, Travis is also getting his hands on part of the Weed Blog. Now, the Weed Blog is one of the highest trafficked blogs in marijuana, right? Gets a million unique hits or more a month. Tremendous traffic. Often beats Normal, often beats High Times, right? Tremendous traffic. And it is the brainchild of two guys, Jeff and Chris. Literally, they got names like a pair of Mormon missionaries, Jeff Young and Chris White. They could literally be the Mormon missionaries. They're not, as far as I'm aware. But anyway, these two guys, young guys, one's a tech SEO Google search genius. One of them nerdy guys that can just tweak a website and make it shoot to the top of Google. And the other, Johnny, he goes by Johnny Green online, Chris. The other is a dedicated activist type who works a full-time job like I did for years and years, works a full-time job, and then on his off time writes for the blog and coordinates for the blog like I did for years and years. So these two guys literally build the Weed Blog on a computer in their dorm room type of situation, apartment or whatever it is, and build it to be one of the most trafficked websites on earth for marijuana. So Travis buys his way into that because these guys, like me, aren't businessmen. We do this out of love, right? I'm technically homeless right now. And we do this out of love, and we're just struggling, and every month is just a struggle to even pay the rent. Nothing fancy going on, right? These two guys built this thing out of their intelligence, talent, and sweat. Travis gets involved because they're desperate and they need money. So he finds a way to get some money to these guys to buy his way into this Weed Blog because he sees, hey, a million hits. There's my media platform. So Travis gets involved with Weed Blog. And meanwhile, he's running this multi-$100,000 dispensary deal with Randy. Okay. And his wife, Leah Maurer, is ingratiating herself and becoming one of the co-founders and top people in the local Portland Women's Grow chapter, which boasts of being the largest and fastest growing women's grow chapter. So where this starts to fall apart is that Randy, last month, filed a lawsuit against Travis for fraud because there is no grow site. After pumping over $700,000 into this, there is no grow site. And he alleges that Travis had actually sent pictures of some other grow site claiming it was their grow site to keep him stalled. And alleges that a whole bunch of money was taken here and there to pay for all sorts of things like polling for New Approach Missouri, like paying off personal debts and personal bills. And it could be alleged, and maybe is alleged in the suit, I'll have to reread it, that some of that money is how he got his fingers on the weed blog. In fact, that is in the suit, I remember, because Randy is suing to get possession of the weed blog, or Travis's stake in the weed blog, because the way Travis was able to buy his way into the weed blog was using Randy's money to buy it. So, Randy is suing Travis. Now, in addition to the fraud thing that he's suing over, he's also suing because Travis has apparently been going around and spreading the rumor that Randy got all friendly with Travis and Leah and their kids as a family and would attend kid functions and soccer functions, and that Randy has turned out to be a pedophile. That's right. Travis is accusing Randy of being a pedophile and actually did so in an email to Chris and Jeff of the Weed Blog. I can personally tell you that Travis personally spoke to me and made the same sort of accusations that Randy was a falling down drunk who had a thing for little kids. So that's what he's saying about my friend, a guy who has been nothing but a mensch to everybody in the movement and donated tens and hundreds of thousands of dollars to Normal, to activists, to forming Minnesota Normal, to forming Portland Normal, saying that guy is a falling down drunk pedophile. And the Weed Blog sued Travis because they say he took money out of the Weed Blog accounts and didn't pay this and didn't file the business license with the Secretary of State and let advertising revenue lapse. And I can testify that indeed the advertising revenue for the Weed Blog, which should have been through the roof when you're getting a million uniques a month, was shit while Travis was running the advertising sales. As soon as Coleco, my former intern, started running the advertising sales, he started pulling in like $100,000 worth of advertising. So, of course, he was promptly booted off by Travis. So now the news from the stuff stoners like is that Travis is suing the guys of the Weed Blog, saying they were taking all this money out of the Weed Blog accounts, thousands and thousands of dollars per month. Now, knowing Jeff and Chris, and knowing how paycheck to paycheck and scraping by they are living, I would have to ask where those thousands of dollars went as compared to Travis, who is flying all over the country back and forth to talk to all of these high-profile people in the movement, compared to Leah, who has managed to get Women Grow to be this huge organization in Portland with these incredibly lavish events. It stinks to high hell, and I'm calling it the Oregon travesty. It's a travesty what's going on here. And in every picture you get, right here on this one as well, every picture you see, you'll see the logos of Women Grow and the t-shirts of the Drug Policy Alliance. And I call on those two organizations, DPA and Women Grow, to take a serious look at these two people to see who you've gotten in bed with here. Ethan Nadelman, you know me personally. We've talked personally. And I encourage you, as someone who admires you, as someone who respects you, who thinks you're one of the greatest people we've got on our side, to take a serious look at this Travis Maurer fella and uncover what's going on. Now, let's let it go to court. Let's let this go to trial and figure out what's going on. But to me, when there's this much smoke, there's a lot of fire. And that's not even counting the third lawsuit from another guy who claims he loaned Travis a bunch of money and Travis stopped repaying those loans. It stinks.
I smelled some marijuana smoke in Vietnam.
Yeah. This is definitely getting nasty, and I won't be surprised if I get summoned on some of this stuff. If I end up testifying at some sort of trial. Happy 420, everybody, from the Pacific Time Zone. We're right back with a radical rant after this.
Dr. Dabber, hurry! Its temperature is shooting past 1,000 degrees Fahrenheit. It's burning up.
I'm afraid for this little guy, it's just too late.
What caused the problem?
Only Dr. Dabber can maintain the perfect temperature for a smooth-tasting, slower burn. This standard vaporizer lost all of its health benefits, sending it up in smoke.
So you're telling me that most vapor pens burn so hot they produce smoke, not vapor?
Correct. Keep away from those standard vaporizer pens and turn to Dr. Dabber. Doctor's orders.
Less heat, more flavor.
This is the Russ Belville Show, annoying Kevin Sabet since 2012.
Midnight, July 1st, 2015, adult marijuana prohibition came to an end in Oregon. Immediately, over 400,000 adults who consume cannabis responsibly were no longer criminals. This is what freedom sounds like. Brought to you by Portland Normal. The Fingerboard Extension has fretted instruments to enhance your creativity. It has new and used guitars and banjos from beginning to high class. The Fingerboard Extension has National Resophonic, Husson Dalton, Larrabee, Heritage and Recording King guitars, and Mike Ramsey, Wildwood, Gold Tone and Recording King banjos. The Fingerboard Extension also has drum stuff, used gear and parts. Stop by the Fingerboard Extension, downtown Corvallis, Oregon at 120 Northwest 2nd, or check out the inventory on the web at fingerboardextension.com and reverb.com.
Must wage what I have called total war against public enemy number one.
I support a change in law to end federal criminal penalties for possession of up to 1 ounce of marijuana.
That marijuana, pot, grass, whatever you want to call it, is probably the most dangerous drug.
Some think there won't be room for them in jail. We'll make room.
I experimented with marijuana a time or two, and I didn't like it, and didn't inhale.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
Entirely legitimate topic for debate.
Radical rant.
Don't give me no mo crap. Today's rant is about mo crap. That is the Missouri Cannabis Restoration and Protection Act. Yep, we got legalizers out there who didn't think ahead that Missouri Cannabis Restoration and Protection spells mo crap. That's the level of political acumen we're dealing with. Now, I've talked about these mo crap true legalizers before, and we'll get to some of that, but I want to remind you about the other story out of Missouri that garnered national attention. And it was the story of Jeff Mazansky. Jeff Mazansky was serving a life sentence for pot. He'd gotten 3 strikes for pot dealing. And under a 3 strikes law that had since been repealed, he was imprisoned in Missouri for life. And a campaign arose around Jeff Mazansky. And to be fair, Travis Maurer had something to do with it. But a campaign arose around Jeff Mazansky and his case that led to petitions and signatures and national coverage. And finally, the exoneration, well, not the exoneration, but the commutation, I guess it was, of Jeff Mazansky's remaining sentence by the governor of Missouri, Jay Nixon. And now Jeff Mazansky's a free man. Since then, Jeff's been on the circuit, on the, you know, the cannabis circuit, doing the various expos and shows. I've had the pleasure of interviewing him at one of these shows, and he's a very nice, soft-spoken man whose gentleness and kindness belies what he must have gone through, 22 years in prison. You'd think he'd be bitter and angry, but no, he seems to be the nicest guy. So this Jeff Mazansky posts on his Facebook today a picture of a cell with the steel toilet and steel sink and the, you know, plastic bed, concrete walls. And the caption reads, "If you didn't wake up to this, it's a good day." And of course, what a thing for this guy to say. What a sentiment to come up with, you know, having spent 22 years in prison. So that's where this gets weird, because as this continues, a fellow by the name of Derek Burns jumps into the Facebook post. And I was alerted to this Facebook post by Trickster Phillips, one of our longtime listeners in Missouri. And Derek Burns apparently is behind or is associated with or is supporting, I don't know his exact relationship, the MOCRAP Act, the Missouri Cannabis Restoration and Protection Act, MOCRAP. Now, right now in Missouri, there's New Approach Missouri, Dan Veets, longtime head of Missouri Normal, a very sensible professional group that's putting together a medical marijuana initiative. Because in their estimation, Missouri is just not going to pass legalization yet, but they would pass medical, so they want to move forward with medical. And Derek and the people with the MOCRAP Act instead believe, no, that's bullshit. We can't just pass medical. That's not true legalization. People will still go to prison. We need to pass the MOCRAP Act. So Derek jumps into this and attacks Jeff Mazansky, saying, quote, "Jeff, isn't there an initiative out there that could help people who have been unjustly incarcerated due to a cannabis-related charge? Yes, there is. It is the MCRPA 2016-13. Jeff, you say if we stick together, we can end this. Well, I ask you, when the MCRPA initiative is being circulated, why aren't you helping? If you're working every day to get them out, then why wouldn't you back an initiative that would save lives and free the prisoners you're talking about? Question mark, 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 question mark." And it gets worse. He goes on to say things. "It's a shame that there are people who claim to help, but when we look around, they're standing on the sidelines of the organization, standing on the sidelines of the organization that wants to lock more people up." Now, that would be a swipe at New Approach Missouri, that somehow by passing medical marijuana, they want to lock more people up. Okay. Now, to his credit, Jeff Mazansky says in reply, "You know, I say it one more time. I hope you the best, and I pray both petitions get on the ballot so the people of Missouri can choose. I'll choose my path and back medical. I've heard too many people tell me they would not vote for your initiative. I'm working on giving them a choice. I will say it again. Good luck. I'm not against your initiative. I am working on other paths to get our nonviolent prisoners out, not just cannabis, but all, and to keep them out. Remember, I lived it and talked to prisoners all the time. They are behind what I'm doing. Sorry you're not. I'm looking at the bigger picture. By the way, if your initiative is so good, like you say it is, what are you worried about? You don't need me. It should stand on its own. So please stop worrying about what I am doing, and I am doing what I believe is right." And it continues. Derek just responds, "You're hiding behind fictitious polls and lies. Missourians are seeing you for who you are, a criminal. That's it. You should still be locked up." And that's where I had to just jump in on this, because it continues and continues. And I had to respond to Derek Burns with the following. "All you need to do to convince me to support your amendment or your initiative is to answer me these questions 3. How much money have you raised? How many signatures do you have? How well does your language poll?" Derek, you're taking this all very personally, lobbing accusations and hurling insults at individuals who, believe it or not, share your goals. They just differ with your strategy. "The simple fact is that changing the law takes money, signatures, and votes. The simple history is that the path to legalization begins with cities that do lowest law enforcement priority, then maybe a cite and release, then maybe a decrim initiative. And that builds popular support for enacting maybe a decrim initiative, then medical marijuana, and then legalization at the state level. It's not rocket science. It's the path of every state that has passed any laws leading toward medical or recreational use. Now, with some exceptions. I mean, you might skip cite and release and jump straight to decrim, or you might skip decrim and jump right to medical. But what has never happened is for an absolute prohibition state to jump straight to a full-on no age limits, no possession limits, no cultivation limits, legalizing stoned driving initiative like MoCrap proposes. I get your frustration, Derek. You know the truth about cannabis. You know that it should be nearly as free as tomatoes. I mean, we should still keep it from kids. And you know that the taxes and regulations should be far less onerous than those for alcohol. You know that all the pot prisoners like Jeff Mazansky should be freed immediately. If you and me and most of the people listening to me right now were the only voters in Missouri, we'd pass MoCrap like shit through a goose. But Derek, you still live in a state with 6 million other people. Of the 6 million people in the state of Missouri, 21% of them aged 18 to 25 smoke pot monthly. And just 6% of those older than that smoke pot monthly. So even if we suppose that all the pot smokers in Missouri would support the MoCrap Act, and if we assume that 100% of them are registered voters, and we pretend that 100% of them would show up to vote, you might get 400,000 votes. But Missouri only had a 64% turnout in the last presidential election and a total of 2.7 million votes cast. So, even if you get your 100% stoner turnout, and again, dreaming that stoned 18 to 25-year-olds will break historical precedent and actually vote, and if the non-stoner turnout stayed around two-thirds, that means from the stoner vote, you would get about 15% of the 50% you needed to win. That's your max. 15% is the ultimate improbable pigs are flying, monkeys are flying out of my butt scenario where every single stoner in Missouri shows up and votes in favor of MoCrap. 15%, that's your top. That's your ceiling. It's going to be a lot less than that. But let's keep pretending that you get that 15%. So that means, in this wildly improbable every stoner shows up to vote scenario, you need to convince another 35%, or about another 1 million voters who don't smoke pot, to support MoCrap. Now, keep in mind, in Missouri, about 42% of Missouri votes Republican. That means we can't get to the 50% without nearly every Democrat voting for MoCrap and maybe pulling in a few Republicans too. So, in other words, impossible. You are proposing no age limits, no cultivation limits, no possession limits, and the legalization of stoned driving. I'm not making that up, folks. Read their initiative. It actually says that it will be legal. There'll be no punishments involved with the use of marijuana and driving. We couldn't pass that in Oregon. We tried our 2012 initiative with Paul Stanford and the OCTA that had unlimited possession, unlimited cultivation, so long as it was just personal, and a 21 age limit, and it failed. It got 46% of the vote, and that was somewhat of a miracle. In Oregon, you think you're going to pass that in Missouri? I've been to Missouri. Now, if that were all, if that were it, if only you were just being another true legalizer, dedicated to your perfect vision of legalization and wasting your time and the time of the people you managed to fool into joining you, then that's one thing. I might not be so harsh. I might not call you out personally, Derek Burns. But now, in your effort to pull off your quixotic strategy for perfect legalization, you've decided to go with the public relations strategy of calling Missouri's most high-profile case of unjust marijuana prosecution a hypocrite who should go back to jail. Some of those million voters you need could have been moved by the injustice in Jeff's case, but you want to toss this golden goose of positive public relations on the same heap as the cops, rehabs, drug testers, prison guards, and big pharma that want to see any marijuana reform fail. I can't speak for Jeff, but if I had lost decades of my life behind bars, I'd find my remaining
Gondrepreneur.com, your guide to the cannabis business.
Damn it. I can't speak for Jeff, but if I had lost decades of my life behind bars, I'd find my remaining time as a free man so precious that I couldn't waste a second of it on fruitless efforts to perfectly legalize marijuana when a well-funded, well-polled, likely-to-pass marijuana initiative is on the table and ready to go. So, Derek Burns, think twice about who you're insulting online. You need all the help you can get, my friend. And I'll offer you a free platform to get it. My studio line is always open every weekday, 6 p.m. Central Time at 971-533-7111. All right, we're back. Wind up a few more stories. Some science on weed users and memory, and how many of us are actually smoking pot when we return.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Gondrepreneur.com, your guide to the cannabis business world. Gondrepreneur.com is a comprehensive resource for cannabis professionals and entrepreneurs. Download the Gondrepreneur app on your smartphone or tablet to catch up on cannabis industry news, scroll through our daily job listings, and learn about successful cannabis companies, executives, and investors. Gondrepreneur.com, helping gondrepreneurs grow.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
From high atop Mount Soledad in San Diego, California, 100 feet above sea level. Good morning. It's good news with cannabis nurse Heather.
This plant is amazing. Positive change is happening. We did it. No matter who you are, you can make a positive impact on the world.
I would rather be illegally alive than legally dead.
And that quote helped to give you strength.
Nurse Heather is only on CannabisRadio.com.
Good morning, cannabis nurse Heather.
Imagine life without taxes. Let New Era Certified Public Accountants, NewEraCPAs.com, handle your cannabis 280E and tax strategy. Get your business prepared with New Era CPAs Cannabis Finance Bootcamp. NewEraCPAs.com, with years of experience in the industry, we are one of the nation's leading accounting firms for growers, dispensaries, and ancillary companies from Washington to California. NewEraCPAs.com.
Pod 2.0. It's not your father's Woodstock weed. This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Welcome back, everybody. Closing in on 40 after the hour. Got an interesting story here that is being reported across a lot of media outlets today. And it's this report on verbal memory among middle-aged pot smokers, which caught my attention, being that A, I'm middle-aged, and B, I talk all day. The CNN headline says weed users found to have poor verbal memory in middle age. And I tell you, when I read headlines like this, it makes me angry. Yes, that's the word. That we have poorer verbal memory. The lead paragraph, people who smoked weed regularly as teenagers remember fewer words as they entered middle age, according to a new study published online by the Journal of American Medical Association Internal Medicine. Well, that doesn't really affect me much, as I didn't smoke pot till I was 22. So I didn't smoke weed regularly as a teenager. So maybe I'm outside the target on this. For the study, the researchers randomly selected more than 5,000 young adults from ages 18 to 30 and followed up with them at varying points over 25 years, from 1985 to like 2011, something like that. At the end of the 25 years, there were more than 3,400 participants still in the study. Their cognitive function was measured using standardized tests of verbal memory, processing speed, and executive function. They found current marijuana use was associated with poor verbal memory and processing speed, and lifetime exposure to marijuana was associated with worse performance in all three areas of cognitive function. Although past exposure to marijuana was associated with worse verbal memory, it does not appear to have affected other domains of cognitive function. So, you know me, I look shit up. So I had to look up the actual study, and they did a good job adjusting for confounding factors. They adjusted for demographics, cardiovascular risk, tobacco smoking, alcohol, illicit drugs, physical activity, depression, and other tests to kind of weed out, if you'll pardon the pun, all the other factors that could cause this lesser verbal memory. And what they found, reading this, they said for each 5 years of past exposure, verbal memory was 0.13 standardized units lower, corresponding to a mean of one or two participants remembering one word fewer from a list of 15 words for every 5 years of use. Like, what? All right, let me break this down how this works. Okay, so they have this test that they give you to test your verbal memory. And the idea is you're going to be read a series of 15 random words. And then, after those words are read to you, you're going to try to remember how many of those 15 random words you can possibly remember. Okay? Let's try it. Okay? Here we go. Apple. Carburetor. Dyslexic. Red. Youth. Babylon. Karate. Dig. Opulent, werewolf, spaghetti, purpose, half, tugboat, Yakima. And then, okay, so now you've got your 15 words. Now you got to remember them. You got to say them back. So what were the words? Go ahead, right? You're probably thinking apple, carburetor, and maybe you get some of them. Maybe you get a bunch of them. Maybe you get all of them. It depends on how good your memory is, right? So that's the test they give these guys when they first find them, right? And they keep giving this test to them. Not the same words, obviously. They mix up different random words every time. But they do this test over and over and over again. They find for every 5 years you smoke pot, your ability to remember those words drops by one. And this only happened, by the way, to half of the participants. A mean of one of two participants remembering one word fewer from a list of 15 words after every 5 years of use. So we got a 50-50 chance after you smoke pot for 5 years that you're going to remember one fewer word on a list of 15 random words. Okay, so I've been smoking pot for 25 years. So if you read that list of words to me, there's a chance that if I used to be able to get all 15 of them, now I can only get 10. Oh no, whatever shall I do? See, here's why I've got my distrust of these kind of tests as some sort of sign of cognitive fitness. First of all, I don't want to be the guy who says marijuana is harmless and smoking it all the time never affects you. I think it does. I think personally, in my own anecdotal experience, my lifetime, adult lifetime smoking of marijuana has had an effect on me. My immediate short-term memory is not very good. Like if I'm on the computer, right, and I'm looking at one website to call in for a food order and there's the phone number on it and it's 971-605-6752 and I'll flip to the other screen, 971-60-what-was-the-last-one? And I'll flip back, right, where I think most people would probably just remember the number. That's tougher for me, yeah. And there's times when I'm doing rants and I'm talking when, like, I have an enormous vocabulary. I'm just... It sounds braggart, but it's true. I have a very large vocabulary. I'm a voracious reader and I know a lot of words, right? But there are times when my online thesaurus in my brain kind of goes offline, especially around if I've been smoking a lot of pot, where I just can't get the perfect word I'm looking for sometimes. And that could be due to marijuana. Absolutely. I will grant that possibility. The reason I do, folks, is because I worry about our side getting too attached to certain arguments for marijuana legalization that ignore the central point of why marijuana should be legalized, which is there's no authority or reason to lock people up for their personal use of a plant on themselves. It's morally wrong. It's against human rights to try to dictate what a person does with their own body. That's the sole base fundamental argument as to why prohibition needs to be overturned. But increasingly, our arguments have been, well, taxes, we can make all this tax revenue, we can make all this money, and the taxes are all coming in for the schools, and we got money coming in. And I worry about that argument because the more marijuana gets legalized, the cheaper it's going to get. And the cheaper it gets, the lower the tax revenues get, which then incentivizes the government to place artificial price supports to keep that price high in order to reap the taxes that they've been used to. And that only can, of course, exacerbate a black market, et cetera, et cetera. So we run the risk with the tax argument of that argument becoming less and less powerful as weed becomes more and more cheap. And then this other one, the other thing I worry about is when we sell marijuana as this great medical thing that has no side effects whatsoever that can never harm anybody. And we're going to get caught with that because here's a study. And again, I'll talk with Dr. Mitch about this study, but let's suppose that this study is accurate. And this study is telling us that there is a long-term mental harm from continued marijuana smoking. The proper answer is so fucking what? See, if we base our argument on marijuana ought to be legal because it's so much safer than alcohol and it never hurts anybody, the minute we start to be able to prove dangers from it and we see people being harmed from it, it undermines that argument. It undermines that support. You guys said it was harmless. You guys said it wouldn't do nothing. My argument is it doesn't matter if marijuana means I can't remember 10 words off a 15-word list. It doesn't matter. I have the right to drink myself blind. And we know from numerous studies what deleterious effects continued constant alcohol abuse has on someone's brain. Yet, we have an amendment in our Constitution that specifically references intoxication. Got the word toxic right in the middle of it. We are allowed to poison our brains. It's in our Constitution. So if we've got this right to poison our brains with alcohol, then you certainly can't justify locking me up for marijuana on the fact that I can't remember a certain number of words on a verbal test. Now, you also have to consider how many people need this super verbal memory anyway. Like, if you're an actor on Broadway, this may be of concern to you. You need to remember a whole script full of lines. If you are a public debater or a politician who has to think on their feet and speak extemporaneously, like a talk show host perhaps, maybe this is of concern to you because you need that rapid verbal memory. If you're a translator at the United Nations and you've got to hear a language coming into your head, remember what that guy said, be able to speak it in a different language at the same time while you're still hearing other stuff coming in, maybe pot smoking's not for you. But if you're a guy who's stocking shelves at the Shopko, is this going to be a real problem for you? Right? Is this going to be a big issue? I know in my life, I mitigate these problems. I always have a Sharpie marker on me. Pretty much always. You stop me somewhere and say, hey, Rush, can I borrow your Sharpie? There's a good chance I've got a Sharpie on me. And the reason why is because I forget shit. I do. I'll admit that I've got that memory issue. So I write shit down. And a Sharpie can write on almost anything. So there we go. I've mitigated the problem. I have this lighter leash that keeps my lighter because I tend to put it down and forget it or hand it to someone and forget it. So it's not a question of whether or not marijuana is going to have these effects on cognition. Maybe it does. I really think it's overblown. I think they're desperately trying to find something terrible about marijuana that when these studies come out, I think most people go, yeah, really? People who smoke pot all the time have trouble remembering shit? Really? Well, thanks, Sherlock. Is this really a concern? But let's not get ourselves into the trap of our opponents who want us to be claiming that it's harmless. Nothing is harmless. Nothing is harmless. Keep that in mind. Now, safer than alcohol? Oh, yeah. Yeah, like I said, tons of studies will show you what continuous alcohol drinking will do. And shame on CNN, by the way, in this story. At the end of it, they make reference to the New Zealand study that said that there was a decline in IQ scores, you know, that 8-point drop in IQ. Because since then, we've had a ton of studies that come out and say, no, that's all explainable by socioeconomic factors. Has nothing to do with whether or not they smoked pot. But they're desperate. They are so desperate to find some terrible, terrible consequence of marijuana use that nobody has ever seen before in the 7,000 years of use to try to forestall this tide of legalization that's washing over this country and the entire world. And it just ain't going to work. All right, stay tuned. We'll come back with some news on Mexico. And also remember, we got Stoner Jesus coming up at the top of the hour. Get yourself blessed by the stony spirit. Right back after this.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
The next generation of vaporizers has arrived. Vuber vaporizers are blazing the way with unparalleled technology for oil, concentrate, or dry flower pens. Providing unsurpassed customer service and expert craftsmanship, Vuber vaporizers use cutting-edge technology, providing a power-packed, smoother vapor with a lifetime guarantee. Experience vaporizing the way it was meant to be. The Vuber way.
You're not high. You're listening to the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
What the hell are we paying you for?
Are you stupid?
Okay. Maybe you're high, too.
Hey, this is Willie Nelson, or Norman. And I smoke pot, and I like it a lot. I learned a long time ago that marijuana is a lot safer than alcohol. There's nothing wrong with the responsible use of marijuana by adults. It's time we stopped arresting and started respecting those who smoke marijuana responsibly. To learn what you can do to help, contact Normal at norml.org or call toll-free 888-67-NORMAL.
The Russ Belville Show is proudly sponsored by the Marijuana Business Association. The MJBA, called by NBC News the Cannabis Chamber of Commerce, is the fastest growing business association in the fastest growing industry in America. I've been working with the MJBA for years, and I personally invite you to join the MJBA. MJBA also publishes the popular MJ Headline News on Facebook and the MJNewsNetwork.com and Marijuana Channel 1 on YouTube. Visit MJBA.net for more details.
Pod 2.0. It's not your father's Woodstock weed. This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Welcome back, everybody. 55 and a half after the hour. We got a couple of minutes left here before we turn the reins over to Stoner Jesus. And before we go, just a couple of quick updates. This first update on a story that we reported earlier, how there was some shock and alarm. This new report that came out and said from 2002 to 2013, marijuana use doubled in America, as well as marijuana addiction. Well, the new study out says, not so much. Yeah, the new study's out in the Journal of the American Medical Association Psychiatry says that marijuana use may not be rising as quickly as thought. More people may simply be willing to admit to it, according to this new research. Man, it's almost like people are listening to the Russ Belville Show. How many times have I said that? You can't trust any statistic about marijuana use under prohibition because of the confounding factor of, I don't want to talk about breaking state and federal laws to a pollster. So hell yeah, more people are admitting to smoking marijuana. It hasn't doubled. Those people were already out there smoking marijuana. They were just lying about it. It's also, it explains the phenomenon. So, oh my God, there's more emergency room admissions. Oh my God, there's more parents calling poison control. Yeah, because those parents and those people suffering from a cannabis overdose, before they wouldn't call the cops, before they wouldn't go to the hospital. If I get caught, if someone knows, why, it's against the law. I could lose my kids. I could go to jail. And they would just sit it out and hope for the best. So yeah, they say that marijuana use may have gone up about 20% and that the marijuana use disorders have remained steady. There hasn't been really any more people smoking pot. Maybe 20% more, but not really much problem with it. And in another story, Mexico, they're having all of those town hall meetings about legalizing marijuana. New poll there says that the opposition to marijuana legalization back in August 2013 was 79% against legalization. Now the numbers dropped to 59%. We're winning all across North America. For everyone here at CannabisRadio.com, I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it.